בדיוק פרשת ויחי. ויחי יעקב בארץ מצרים 17 שנה. יעקב lived in the land of Mitzrayim 17 years. ויהי מיעקב שני חייו 7 שנים 40 ומעט שנה. The days of Yaakov, the years of his life were 7 years and 140 years. So he lived to the ripe old age of 147. The parasha begins by describing Yaakov. Vayikrevu yemei Yisrael lamut. The days of Israel came close to die. Vayikra livno liYosef. He called his son Yosef. Vayomer lo, he said to him, Imna matzatchen meinecha simna yadcha tachtirechi. Please, if I found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh. Vasitei madi chesed veemet, you'll do it with me, kindness and truth. And we said that's always a balance, chesed and emet. Al na tikvereni b'mitzrayim, please don't bury me in Egypt. V'shachavtim avotai, when I will pass away, I'll rest with my forefathers. And that's a term that's said about tzaddikim. Unsatani b'mitzrayim ukvartani b'kvuratam, so just like my neshama goes with them, please carry my body out of Mitzrayim and bury me in their burial place. Vayomar anochi esek idrecha. So Yosef says, I'll do as you say. So Yaakov Avinu tells him, Unsatani mi Mitzrayim. You'll take me out of Mitzrayim. Yaakov didn't want to undergo the tsar of having to travel from Chutzartz to Eretz Yisrael in order to come back for Tchias HaMesim. A person who's buried in Israel, so his Tchias HaMesim is different. And so Yaakov wanted to be buried here. And Yaakov asks him, Unsatani mi Mitzrayim, when you take me out of Mitzrayim, take with me some of the earth of Mitzrayim. When you take a dead person and you have to transport him, we say you transport him together with the earth that he's been decomposed to. Vayomer Hishavali, Yaakov tells him, promise, take a vow. Vayishavalo, so he vows to Yaakov. Vayishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Amita, Yaakov vows towards the head of the bed. And who's he bowing to? He's bowing towards Yosef. Yosef's the one's in charge now, even though it's his son, but he's the man of the hour. When a person is the man of the hour, Chazal say, Tala be'idme sagile. Every animal has its hour when it's head of the forest, head of the jungle. So when it's the fox's turn, everyone bows to the fox. A while after this, Yosef was told that his father was ill. Until Yaakov's time, no one got ill. Yaakov said, Ribon Shom, people just sneeze and drop dead. Please let people have a warning. Let people become ill before they die. This is the first time we encounter the concept of illness in the Torah. So Yosef gets word his father is ill. He takes his two sons with him, Menashe and Ephraim. And it seems like he had other children. Maybe they were too little to come. Vayegel Yaakov, so someone told Yaakov, Vayomer, Hinei Bincha Yosef Ba'elecha. Behold, your son Yosef is coming to you. Vayitchazek Yisrael, Vayeshev Lamita. So he strengthened himself, he sat up in the bed. Vayomer Yaakov El Yosef, Yaakov tells Yosef, El Shaddai Nira Elai Beluz Be'eretz Kenan, Vayivar Choti. God appeared to me in Luz, and he blessed me. Now it's interesting that he calls it Luz, because Yaakov changed the name from Luz to Beit El. But maybe he hadn't publicized the name Beit El. It says, Vayitze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. He went, Yaakov left Be'er Sheva. He slept in the place. He says, Achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Taika Hashem b'makom Beit El. V'ulam Luz Shem Eir l'Rishona. Initially it was called Luz. So now he refers to it with its old name, Luz. So he tells him, Hashem blessed me then. Vayomer Elai, Hineni mafrecha v'irbiticha. I'll make you procreate, I'll make you blossom, I'll make you many. Untaticha likalamim. I'll form you into a gathering of nations. Who is left to be born? When Hashem told him this, when he came back to Beit El, after the 22 years in Lavan's house, he already had his 11 boys and Dina. There was only one child left to be born, Binyamin. And Hashem told him, then I'll make you into a congregation of nations. So from here we see that from Binyamin, Binyamin was supposed to be corresponding to the nations. So Binyamin was supposed to be its own kahal, and that's how we find in the families of Binyamin. We also find that from here we learn that this concept of kahal it refers to one tribe alone as well. We have a din of if a tzibur errs, there's a special korban. Hakahal, the Torah says, if the kahal errs, they have a special korban. What's considered a kahal? Even one shevet has its own status as kahal. V'natati ta'arz hazot lezarcha achareicha achuzat olam. Now give your children this land as a permanent inheritance. So the promise is they will become a kahal of nations and they will have the land. If they don't have the land, they don't have the status of kahal. So Shevet Levi never have the status of kahal because they never get land. V'ata, shnei v'necha noladim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim ad bi'i elecha Mitzrayim alihem. The two children who were born to you in Mitzrayim before I came to Mitzrayim, they're mine. Ephraim and Menashe, Keuvim Shimon Yuli. Ephraim and Menashe will get the status as though there are two tribes, like Reuven and Shimon. So, Ephraim and Menashe, Yaakov tells him, are going to be like mine. Chazal derived from here a concept that if one curses the bearer of children before the bearer himself, so then that's grounds for divorce. Meaning, Yaakov over here says, Ephraim and Menashe are like mine. We see that his grandchildren are, it's as though they're his own children. If a woman curses a person's children, so obviously he's going to have issue with it. Chazal say even if she curses his parents. When he's not home, she curses his parents, that's one thing. But if when he's around, she curses his parents, that's another thing. So, the children that you had after their birth, they're yours. They're within your tribe. They will get their portion together with their brothers. Umoladtecha. That's even your grandchildren. Vani, and I'm asking you to take care of me and bury me in Israel. I asked you a while back, and I know bevoi mepadan, as I was traveling from Padan, meta alai Rachel be'eretz Kenan baderech. Rachel died in the land of Canaan when I was traveling. So I was already in Canaan. I could have buried her somewhere. Ve'od kivratel slavo Efrata, there was just a short distance to come to Efras, and nonetheless, ve'kburah sham b'derech Efrati bet lachem. I buried her on the way. Chazal tell us when the Torah tells us lo tenachashu, you're not allowed to go and make decisions based on signs. So that's a biblical prohibition. Lo tenachashu. You can't say, well, a black cat just crossed my path, so I'm not going to go down that road. You don't make a decision based on something like that. On the other hand, Chazal tell us, yesh siman. There is such a concept as a sign. If a person had a son, and just afterwards he had a great business deal, he could say, boy, there's a sign, something good's going to happen. This kid's bringing blessing with him. We, on Rosh Hashanah, we do signs. We dip an apple in honey. We say that siman, that does exist. And one opinion says that you have to have three simanim. When Yaakov knows that Rachel passed away in Ruth, and yet he sends Yosef out. He knows that Yosef disappeared, and yet he sends the brothers out. But now that Shimon disappears, so he has Rachel, Yosef, Shimon, he says, our family doesn't do well when traveling. I'm not sending Binyamin with you guys. I'm worried. After three times, then you have a siman. Meta alai, Rachel, Yaakov says. She died on me. What do you mean? She died for the whole world. No. Chazal say, a woman dies only for her husband. Her parents can mourn, her children can mourn, but her husband, he lost half his body. Meta alai, Rachel, Yaakov says, I, it was my own personal loss. From here we learn, en isha meta ela lebaala. A woman, when she dies, it's as though the only one who really suffers her loss is her husband. Yaakov sees Yosef's children. Yaakov says, who are they? Yosef tells his father, these are my kids. God gave me them, and here's the ksuba. I married their mother properly. Yaakov was always wondering, what's going on with Yosef, what kind of marriage does he have? What kind of kids does he have? He knew he had Menashe and Ephraim, but what was he faithful all the years that he was alone? So now Yosef shows him the ksuba. He says, bring him here, I will bless them. Yisrael, Yaakov's eyes were already weighty. They had already ceased functioning well from old age. Mizokin, from being an old man who learned in yeshiva. Zokin can mean just age, but in our tradition, zokin is zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. He had spent his time poring over the books, so his eyes weren't so good when he was an old man. Lo yuchal lirot, he practically couldn't see. Vayigesh tam elav, Yosef brings him close. Vayishak lem vayichabek lem.
What is zaken, zaken v'yashav v'yeshiva?
Yeah. Zaken is very often zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Vayasa, zaken could sometimes be just an old man, but very often we say that zaken is zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Zaken is zekana chokhmah. Can I continue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, see your writings. So Yaakov tells Yosef, I didn't think I'd ever get to see you again. And here Hashem let me see not only you, but even your children. Yaakov tells Yosef, he blesses him and he says, Hashem, who my forefathers walked before him, Avram and Yitzchak, Hashem who shepherded me from the time I was born till today. Hashem who shepherded me. Haro'eh oti. Chazal say that's a reference to the fact that Hashem gave him his parnasa. When it comes to the geula, to being saved from Esav and all the troubles of life, he says, Hamalach ha-goel oti, the angel that rescued me. When it comes to giving him parnasa, he says, "Ha'elokim aroe oti, Hashem gave me parnasa." From this, Rav Yochanan derives, "Kashim mezonotav shel adam yoter min ha'geula." Person's parnasa is something that, so to speak, God has to interfere. It's more complex than even being saved, redeemed from Esav and all the troubles of life. the actual parnasa, that's something that Hashem has to be in the picture on. Yaakov blesses the children, that the angel that always rescued him should bless the children and call them his name, Yaakov's name, and the name of his forefathers. Why do we daven Shmona Esrei? So, one opinion says we daven Shmona Esrei, 18 blessings, because the forefathers are mentioned 18 times in the Torah. And the 18th time is this time. Shemi v'shem avotai Avraham Yitzchak. My name, even though it doesn't say explicitly Yaakov's name, and the name of my forefathers Avraham and Yitzchak, v'yidgu l'rov, and they should multiply like fish. From here we derive that Yosef's children are like the fish, that the water covers them and Ayin Hara doesn't touch them. So too the offsprings of Yosef, Ayin Hara doesn't touch them. And that's this concept of v'yidgu l'rov, they should multiply like fish. Just like the fish, even though they multiply, no one gives them an Ayin Hara, they're where no one can see them. So too the children of Yosef, Ayin Hara can't touch them. Yosef wasn't willing to take a look at what wasn't rightfully his. His master's wife kept trying to entice him and he wouldn't even look at her. So the eye that doesn't want to feed itself off of something that's not its own, so then Hashem makes it that the Ayin Hara can't touch it for generations to come. And maybe this gives us a little bit of an insight as to why Ayin Hara can touch a person, because a person allows his own eyes to wander where they're not allowed to feed. Now when Yaakov extended his hand on his children's head, he crossed them. He put his right hand on the left kid's head and his left hand on the right kid's head. He switched his hands. He put his right hand on the younger kid's head, on Ephraim's head, and his left hand on Menashe's head, on the older kid's head. So Yosef interjects and he says, no, that's not the way, my father. This one's the firstborn. Put your right hand on him. Now Yosef thought that maybe Yaakov didn't see well. So he figures, I'll help him out. And Yaakov refuses. He says, I know, my son, I know. The older one will also become a great nation. He will also be great. But the younger one will be even greater, and his children will rule over the nations. When will all the nations be in awe of the younger one? That's a reference to the days of Yoshua, when Yoshua was going to war. So at one point, he needed the sunlight to his advantage. So our tradition has it that he told the sun to stop. That's what the Pasuk says in Yoshua's song. After the war, he says, Shemesh begivon dom. Shemesh and Givon, stop. Wait for us. Wait for us to finish the battle. And the Vayidoma Shemesh, the sun stood still and waited for Yoshua to finish his battle. Everyone saw that Yoshua had control over the sun. That's when all the nations had awe. That's Zaroyiyem Eloagoyim. His offsprings will be famous throughout the nations. So he blesses them. And he tells them, the Jewish people will bless their children, telling them, Yisimcha Elohim ke Ephraim v'chim Menashe. When they bless their children, they'll say, may God make you like Ephraim and Menashe. And notice he placed Ephraim first, even though Ephraim was the younger one. Yaakov tells Yosef, I'm going to die. And Hashem will bring you back to the land of your forefathers. And when you get back to that land, I gave you one portion more than the rest of the brothers. Now, Shechem Achad Alechecha. From here we see that Yosef's double portion was specifically in the land, not in everything. It's not that he got double the money from the Yerusha, from Yaakov. Yaakov says, I'm giving you that land which I captured from the Amori, b'charbi u'b'kashti, with my sword and my bow. What's he attributing the victory to, the sword and the bow? Chazal say, charbi is tefillah, and kashti is bakasha. So how's charbi tefillah? And kashti bakasha, maybe kashti bakasha, you could understand. But harbi, So the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Romimot kel bigronam v'cherev pifiyot biyadam." And Chazal say, "Cherev pifiyot." What sword do people hold in their hands? That's a double-edged sword when they go to sleep. That's the sword of prayer. That's the prayer we end off our night with before we go to sleep. Yaakov gathers his children and he tells them, "Gather, I want to tell you what will happen in the end of time." He wants to reveal the end of time, and the Shekhinah leaves him. So he begins his blessing. He doesn't really reveal to them the end of time. He begins and says, "Reuven, you are my strength, you are my first strength. Reshit Oni." Chazal say this is an indication that Yaakov Avinu never emitted his seed in vain. The first seed that came out of Yaakov Avinu when he was over 70 years old was Reuven, right? So Yaakov Avinu was exceptional. He could say Reshit Oni. Yaakov tells him, "Pachas Kamaim, you were swift like water. Pachas, you were so quick, and so you sinned. Al total." Yaakov tells him, "Because you went so quickly, you didn't gain anything. You lost. Ki alita mishkeve avicha, because you interfered when it came to my bed. Az chilalta yutzui ala, you desecrated the bed that I sleep on." And when he moved the bed, so the Shekhinah left Yaakov's bed. So that's why it says Yitzui, like Yitzuai, my bed, so to speak. Now Chazal tells Reuven did tshuva. And the word pachas has an allusion to the fact that you did tshuva over there. Shimon v'Levi, you two are brothers. You deal with weapons that are not part of our family. You took something that doesn't belong in our house to go fighting the city of Shechem. Bisodam, in their future secrets, I want to have nothing to do with it. That's a reference to the Meraglim. Bikalam, in their gathering, I don't want my honor mentioned. That's a reference to Korach and his men that come from Levi. I want to have nothing to do with it. Why? Ki v'apama guish, because in their anger they killed men, the people of Shechem. They didn't all deserve the death penalty. And at their own will, they wanted to uproot the ox, which is a reference to what they wanted to do to Yosef. Arur apam kiyaz, cursed is their anger, for it is so brazen, for it is so strong. So you see that Yaakov Avinu doesn't curse them, he curses their anger. So what does Yaakov say? What do we have to do? Achalekem be Yaakov. I have to separate them, divide them throughout Yaakov. Anger is an important tool, but anger can be destructive. If you take an angry lot and you disperse them, you scatter them, so it's like a sharp spice that's mixed into a big dish. So then it brings out the good parts of the dish. You can't have a country where everyone keeps saying, "Oh, there's nothing wrong," so they're shooting at us. There's nothing wrong, nothing wrong. At some point, you got to say, "No, enough is enough." So that's why you do need that strength of Shimon and Levi, but it has to be scattered. It has to be diluted. Yehuda, your brothers will thank you. Yadecha be'oref oyvecha, your hand grabs the neck of your enemy. Your enemies are on the run and you grab them by the neck. Chazal tell us that even the Goyim knew this pasuk. When Haman started falling, so it says that his wise men told him, "Im mizera hayudim Mordechai, if Mordechai comes from the Yehudim, lo tuchalo, you won't be able to overcome him." What were they saying? Chazal say they were telling him, if he comes from any other shevet, then you can't overtake him, because Yehuda, Binyamin, Ephraim, and Menashe, about Yehuda it says, Yadcha b'oref oyvecha, your hand grabs the neck of your enemies. And Ephraim, Binyamin, and Menashe, it says, Oras gvurosecha. So those are the tribes that are considered to be especially strong. Yadcha, what?
Binyamin,
Ephraim, and Menashe. It's really Yehuda and Yosef. Yehuda and the children of Rachel. Yeah. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Pei lifnei Ephraim uvinyamin uMenashe orera et gevuratecha. Yeah. Now, the children of Esau had a tradition that Yehuda killed Esau. And that's why there was a period when the Romans decreed a shmad only against the tribe of Yehuda. There was a shmad only against him because they said he killed our great-great-grandfather Esau. This pasuk, Yadecha be'oref oivecha, your hand grabbed the neck of your enemy. They had a tradition, was a reference to the fact that Yehuda killed Esau. So, we'll have to finish the parsha hopefully tomorrow. So, we'll just finish Yehuda. The pasuk says, Yehuda lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. The staff, the rulership will never leave Yehuda. And that's what our sages told us, that the leaders of the Jewish people always came from Yehuda, and we're not supposed to anoint kings who are Kohanim or anyone else. That was a claim against the Hashmonaim. They shouldn't have retained the throne. And even in the times that we were in exile, so the heads of the exile were from the tribe of Yehuda, and the heads of the Jewish people were the offsprings of Hillel. They were the ones that were the greatest teachers, and they were the ones who... Hillel also came from Yehuda. And the Sanhedrin, where, what was the location where the Sanhedrin was situated? So the pasuk says, "Umchokek mi ben raglav." The children of Yehuda will always be the authors. They're going to be the ones that write the rules. So that's a reference to the Sanhedrin and the location. Where was the Supreme Court? They were in Yehuda territory. Ad ki yavo Shiloh, until Mashiach comes. That's the way it's going to be. Velo yikat amim, and the nations will listen up to him. Osri la gefen iro. So, okay, we'll have to pick up over here. Bezrat Hashem.